Welcome to Clinical Conversations, 120th podcast. It comes to you from Journal Watch, whose website is at jwatch.org. I'm Joe Elia. It's May 6th, 2011. Dr. Danielle Schurer of Physicians First Watch and the Medical University of South Carolina is also here. Our guests this week are Dr. Jan Stasen and Dr. Katarzyna Stolarz-Szczepek, respectively the senior and first authors on a JAMA paper questioning population-level dietary salt restrictions. Their group tracked salt intake by measuring baseline salt excretion in some 3,700 European subjects without cardiovascular disease. They followed the cohort for about 8 years. Surprisingly, they found that low salt excretion was associated with higher cardiovascular mortality and that the incidence of hypertension did not increase with increasing salt consumption. Dr. Stolarz-Szczepek and Dr. Stasen are both in the Department of Cardiovascular Diseases at the University of Leuven, Belgium. Dr. Stolarz-Szczepek is also at the Jagiellonian University Medical College in Krakow, Poland, and Dr. Stasen is also at Maastricht University in the Netherlands. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I want to ask why you undertook the study. How did you come to suspect that the dietary assumptions were wrong?
We did a study because this is the first evaluation at the population level where in a prospective fashion we evaluated sodium excretion, blood pressure continuous variable, hypertension, and the risk of cardiovascular disease. And to our knowledge, this has not been done in any population study before.
And the assumption was that it was...
our assumption was in line with the general belief that increasing sodium would lead to increase in blood pressure, probably increased incidence of hypertension, and for that reason, increasing cardiovascular complications.
And in that vein, I mean, over the course of several decades, I mean, salt has really gotten a pretty evil reputation as, you know, a source of many problems in many countries. Having said that, what reaction have you had so far from the medical community? I mean, is there a sense of skepticism or more of a sense of sort of excitement over, you know, a new and novel research finding?
Depends from where the medical community comes from. I think in Europe we have had a lot of positive reactions. Of course, there is some criticism, especially in the U.S.
And in your mind, what is the danger, if you will, of continuing to restrict salt in the diet?
Well, just look at the numbers that we published. We subdivided our population in three equal groups. And just to round the numbers, if you round the numbers, those with the lowest sodium excretion, the excretion was about 2.5 grams per day. The middle group rounded 5 grams per day, the highest group 10 grams per day. And then if you look at the mortality rate, it was, and this is cardiovascular mortality, it was 4% in the lowest tertile, half of that 2% in the middle tertile, and again half of that 1% in the upper tertile. Now, if you look at the what the American guidelines are proposing, they are proposing to bring back at the level of the general population the sodium excretion to 1.5 grams per 24 hours by 2020. Now, that is even lower than the 2.5 grams per 24 hours that we have observed in our lower tertile, in which the increase in the rate of cardiovascular mortality was 4 times if you compare it with the upper tertile.
Dr. Stolarz-Szczepek, what have your colleagues' reactions been?
The reactions both of mine and my colleagues were that we were quite astonished to find this result. But on the other hand, we were already aware that there are some reports on the smaller populations and not exactly based on the urinary sodium excretion, but however reporting the inverse relation between sodium intake and cardiovascular mortality. And these are data by group of Professor Alderman based on the observation of the U.S. population. Mm-hmm. So this was, maybe we started at completely different assumption. We were expecting that in fact we will find positive relation between sodium excretion, salt intake and cardiovascular outcomes. But it was not that... This was completely not yet reported in the literature.
Dr. Stason, the New York Times, as you know, wrote about your research, and the critics that it quotes really are echoing your own criticism of the work, where you say that, well, maybe the population was a little young and maybe not enough urine was measured, and maybe there weren't enough cardiovascular events, etc. But are there studies underway that you're aware of?
Can I reply to that? Because this is not correct.
Okay, go ahead.
This is absolutely not correct. Can you mention or give me the name of a study where 3,700 people have been followed for an average of 8 years? That's the first issue. The second issue is that our population was on average quite young.
Yes.
Yes, the average age was about 40 years, but then if you go to the online data supplement, you will see that we did separate analysis in those below age 60 and above age 60, and that the data are consistent, and actually most of the cardiovascular mortality occurred in those that were older than 60 years. Mm-hmm. And then I think 24-hour urinary collection, or urine collection is... The 24-hour urine collection is still the golden standard to assess sodium intake.
Mm-hmm.
You should also always return the question, what do they propose instead, these experts?
I'm not proposing anything, but
the experts that commented in the New York Times.
Yes. Well, my observation of what they said was that they were echoing your own criticisms, which I took to mean that the criticisms were not that telling, and that there are other ways, of course, in retrospect, to have conducted a study. But tell me, are you satisfied that we have enough evidence now to act?
The evidence is accumulating. I can just refer to two recent studies that have been published in Diabetes Care, mm-hmm. where they looked in one study in type 1 diabetic patients and the other one in type 2 diabetic patients. I think still one of these two articles is still only online publication, EPAP, but the two studies demonstrated that there is, as in our study, an inverse association between sodium excretion, and they also used sodium excretion, and total mortality. Mm-hmm. So lower sodium excretion associated with high mortality.
So do you have a sense that maybe we jumped the gun on some of these population-based recommendations for sodium restriction?
Yes, I think so. It's going to be very difficult to... First of all, the question is it feasible to do that, what you recommend? Is it feasible?
Because you're right, we've sort of...
Is it feasible to lower sodium intake by 2020 to 1.5 grams per day?
Sure,
If it's not feasible, why do you recommend it?
Yeah. It is. It's extremely hard, yeah. But it is. We sort of, leave ourselves in a quandary because this has become such universal recommendations. I feel like we used to recommend this primarily just for hypertensive patients or those with heart failure or the elderly, and now, you're right, it really has become more of a universal recommendation, which may have just been, based on sort of, extrapolating to populations that it may not have been relevant for.
Yes, I think that's exactly the point. One has been, there are intervention studies intervention trials in normotensive volunteers and in hypertensive patients mm-hmm. that clearly showed if you manipulate salt intake and go from extremely high to extremely low or the other way around, that you see effects on blood pressure, which for systolic average about 5 to 6 in the hypertensive patients mm-hmm. and 2 to 3 in the normotensive subjects. And actually, if you look, just as, an idea, if you look at our data, the 100 millimole increase in sodium excretion was associated with about 2 millimeters mercury increase in systolic pressure over
right.
6 years. That's about the same order of magnitude that that has been observed in the normal volunteer studies with sodium manipulation. Mm-hmm. Now comes the issue, because these studies, these intervention trials, they have been extrapolated in two ways. The first extrapolation that one has made is that the change in systolic pressure in selected patients or in selected volunteers have been, one has made the assumption that if one would decrease in the general population sodium in the same way, mm-hmm. that one would see similar decreases in pressure. And then there is even a second assumption, that is that if one would decrease, it's never been proven, if one would decrease the sodium excretion in the population at large, that one would reduce cardiovascular mortality.
Mm-hmm. And you see that of hypertension as well.
Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, this is really a bridge too far mm-hmm. on this to recommend this.
Universally, right.
Yes. But of course we do not... I think hypertensive patients, those who have the disease, or heart failure patients, or patients uh-huh. with cardiovascular problems, I think these are the people where you have an activated renin angiotensin system, and these are people that you would recommend to reduce
Mark.
Sodium intake.
Sure. Yeah, this may
Can
be
Can I make another
example.
Argument? If you
yep.
look at the time trends in our study, there is no difference in sodium excretion at baseline and follow-up. And nevertheless, in all these Western European countries, we see a steady decrease in cardiovascular mortality over all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And our study really is, it covers, in Belgium we start recruitment in 1985, so we have close to 35 years of follow-up in those that are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other European countries, we start in 1998, so that's also 12 years for some people. So that's really, so the methodology, I think, of our study is very, very, very sound.
So it sounds like that we're probably still fine recommending those, at least some restriction, some feasible level of sodium restriction in those patients who are either hypertensive or maybe with heart failure. But I guess the message here for, you know, the practicing primary care doctor or clinician in the community is that, you know, we may have overstretched our assumptions, and that your work argues against extrapolating those results to non-hypertensive or non-heart failure patients.
To the general population.
To the general age. Population.
Yeah, exactly. Regardless
of age, because like you said, you analyzed it for those under and over age 60.
Yes. Exactly. And you know that with aging, the activity of the renin angiotensin system decreases. That's another argument to be very careful in the elderly, to reduce sodium intake to levels like 1.5 grams per day.
Like you said, which may not even be feasible regardless. Even if it was a good recommendation, nobody can do it.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Well, this has been great. Anything else you felt like we didn't cover or that you wanted to add?
No, I think I think it's very important to educate the public and to inform the public in a correct way. And I think in the U.S. you started doing that. There are food facts on each package.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can read the amount of sodium inside, and I think everybody can take an informed decision what to buy or not to buy in the store.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This is great
thank
work.
You.
Thanks.
Bye.
That was Conversation 120. I apologize for my fractured pronunciations. But earlier podcasts are all available at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time for myself and Dr. Danielle Scherer. Thank you for listening.